Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Last week, we talked about our first response, that when stuff happens, that we get overwhelmed or we're faced even with opportunities or big decisions, that when He is Lord, we don't just decide, but we inquire of Him. Yeah, and 2 Chronicles 20, that was our text last week. It's the account of the Israelite king Jehoshaphat. And a great army comes against them. He's afraid, but he inquires of the Lord what to do. And the Lord promises victory, and the Lord routs the enemy without them even having to fight. And the reality was, we talked about the fact that we can spend so much time escaping or striving or scheming when we just need to inquire of the Lord and obey. It's actually kind of simple. And so I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, go back and listen to that sermon as we're going to build on it today. This is in essence part two. And so here's what I want to show you is that it doesn't stop there. So inquiry gave them a word, but faith required a response. And whether we realize it or not, there is a battle going on in our lives. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But praise God, Jesus has come to bring life and life more abundantly. And we live in I guess, a space, especially in the Western world, where the enemy actually would prefer to deceive us and say, that don't over-spiritualize stuff. There's no battle. It's just a hard time. But we must be cognizant that this is a battle and it's one not of flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, we have a battle against an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. It's a battle for our families, our marriages. It's a battle for our faith. It's a battle for the call of God on our lives. It's a battle for our wholeness. And you might feel like you're in a battle right now. And so last week's big point was, if He is Lord of my life, then I don't just decide, I inquire of the Lord. And this week, we inquire, but we don't just hear the word, we fight to see it fulfilled. We fight to see it fulfilled. You see, we can misunderstand that last week's message and just think that following Jesus is passive, that God will just fight for me. I'll just get a word and then He's going to do it all. He'll just fight. And no, but we're actually called to have a faith that fights and contends for the things of God as He leads us. And so the title today is A Faith That Fights. A Faith That Fights. Sometimes we don't even fight. Battles come and we just accept defeat. You know, perhaps the surgeon gets the final word over our health, or that person speaking hurt over us defines our identity, or our boss maybe determines our destiny. Maybe it's the bank, the market right now, what the media says. We just accept defeat. Even when Jesus said, the kingdom is here, go, I've given you authority, you're the head and not the tail. You know, our God is Jehovah Nissi, which means He is our banner of victory. Of victory, that's what it means. And so we're on the winning side. We don't then therefore fight for victory, we fight from victory. And Jehoshaphat and the Israelites in 2 Chronicles 20, they show us this. Because they fast when they should be preparing for war. Like, you want to be full strength, ready to go, right? But they're fasting. They pray when they should be strategizing, right? They worship when they're walking towards an overwhelming army. It makes no natural sense, but that's the point. Because God had already spoken. And when God speaks, faith has a different response. They weren't trying to win the battle. They were standing in the reality that God had already declared victory. We're in a battle and we fight from victory. So let me submit to you that how we fight matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 3, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I think too often we fight with carnal weapons. Carnal weapons might include complaining, groveling, striving or shrinking back. We don't get anywhere with any of these. The Israelites complained in the wilderness and it cost them the promised land. Don't expect victory or breakthrough when you're complaining. The reality is that these carnal weapons don't invite Jehovah Nissi into the fray. So what does a fighting faith look like? Well, let's go back to King Jehoshaphat. We're going to read verse 5 to 7. It says, Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And he continues to go on praying. You see, he stands before all the people, doesn't complain, doesn't say, man, we're in a wretched situation. He doesn't bring a motivational speech. No, but he begins to pray. And he leads the whole nation in prayer. And he prays in faith, declaring who God is. And there it is. That's the first of three weapons we use to fight in faith. I've really got six, but I've grouped them into three. And that first one is we fight in prayer. We fight in prayer. You see, that the first prayer was to inquire of the Lord. The second was then to contend and actually declare this is who God is. James 5:16, it says, the earnest prayer of the righteous has great power and wonderful results. Sometimes as Christians, I think we forget that prayer works. You know, if we refer to the last week's testimony, the video testimony about Tabitha, you remember that? She was the blonde lady, like the stunt double of Pastor Tam, right? She says her connect group prayed every single day for her husband Phil's salvation. They prayed him home. They contended in faith and prayed him home. They contended for his salvation and it brought wonderful results. Prayer works. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable about a woman who persisted with an ungodly judge until he relented. And we don't have time to go in the story, but in verse 1 of Luke 18, Jesus basically sums it up. And he says he told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So Jesus did not say that we always ought to pray and not lose heart because God is reluctant. No, it's but because he is willing. And that's our encouragement to prayer, to keep praying, right? Persistent prayer shifts things, so don't just inquire, but contend. Contend in prayer. You know, one of the ways we persist in prayer is to do it together. And that's a huge reason why we do campus prayer every fourth Wednesday. It's on again this Wednesday. And we're going to contend in prayer. This week, we're going to contend for breakthrough, for healings, for miracles, for the things that people in this room are believing for. So will you show up and fight in faith with us? You know, as I was just praying into this window, I actually saw a picture of people pacing in prayer, like marching in lines towards the battle and the battle of victory. Amen. And so let's pack out this Wednesday. Let's shut down the plans of the enemy. Let's pray his kingdom come. Amen. Would you be in the room? Would you be in the room? It's Wednesday. I know you just want to stay at home and put your feet on the couch, but come on, let's contend. Let's contend. Amen. Persistent prayer is contending in the unseen. But also, we fight through fasting. I touched on this last week. Jehoshaphat and the entire nation fasted and the Lord delivered them. You know, fasting, it weakens the flesh and strengthens the spirit. Fasting is a precursor to victory time and again in the Word. And it isn't simply going without, but it is replacing it with prayer. If you want to see a breakthrough in your life, is it time for you to fast? So we fight our battles in faith through prayer. Then we go to verse 22. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. It's time to make praise great again. It's time to make praise holy again, as the young people wear those hats, amen. We fight in praise. We fight in praise. Jehoshaphat's army, they went to battle praising the Lord, right? As they began to praise, the Lord ambushed the enemy. When did you last praise into a breakthrough? God is restoring the power of praise in our church. To understand that praise doesn't just come after the victory, but praise paves the way for victory. Amen. Paul and Silas, they praised and the prison doors flung open. King Jehoshaphat and the army, they praised and the enemy was completely routed. You know, last Sunday night at 5 p.m., we started to sing, we're going to see a victory. Then we started to sing, the enemy's been defeated. And man, in the spirit, I feel like I got those big Hulk kind of glove, like punching fists on. And I'm just like punching darkness out, you know, like as you feel it in your spirit. Like, man, we're contending. We're taking ground here. That's the power of our praise. Amen. We fight through praise. Man, I've seen you guys. We get to that bridge, you know, because you took away my shame. And some of you went from this to like a little bit of clapping and lean into that. It's your spirit saying, come on, let's contend. Let's contend. There's something that happens when we choose to praise. We fight in praise. Then verse 20 says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me. Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Someone say, you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. He declares, before there's been any change in circumstance, all he's got is a word from the Lord. He declares victory to the people. We fight with our words. Don't you know I gave Stacey a piece of my mind last week? With the right words. We fight with the right words. We fight with faith-filled words of declaration. Of declaration. That not once does Jehoshaphat speak about how outnumbered they are. Not once does he give unnecessary weight to the facts. They were facts, yes. Rather, he stands on and declares the word of the Lord. Come on, church, we declare his word. We don't rehearse defeat. No, we speak truth. This is not a denial of facts, but it's a declaration of truth in faith. Amen? Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you talk about matters. How you talk about your battle, it matters. You can speak death and defeat and hopelessness about your battle. Or you can align with the Almighty God, with Jehovah Nissi, and declare victory. Where are the men and women of faith that are telling their doctors, thank you, but my God heals? You know, where are the families in the middle of a mess, but are declaring, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? You know, where are the husbands that are telling their wives, hey, have faith in the Lord, for we will be upheld. Life is in the power of the tongue. Let's use it. We use fighting words, those faith-filled, God-breathed declarations. But what it also looks like is speaking in tongues. You see, this gift is a weapon that so many of us have received, but we aren't using it to contend. Edify your spirit. Take authority. Rise up in the strength of the Lord. That's what speaking in the tongues does. And when I felt the Spirit of God on a moment, and as I'm contending, and I start to shunda bunda, you know, should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Mitsubishi. Like, and man, in my spirit, it's like I pick up this massive sword and I'm just taking out the enemy. I'm cutting off chains, you know, like, amen. We got to use our heavenly language to fight, yeah? Now, side note, if tongues is foreign or uncomfortable for you, I want to encourage you to go to Life Activated next term. We have a week dedicated to teaching on the Holy Spirit, and that includes tongues, and it's an opportunity to understand, to wrestle, and to receive the gift of the heavenly language. And that course is free. Fight. That wasn't a question. Fight in prayer. Fight in prayer. Fight in praise. Fight with your words. These are the right weapons, not the carnal ones. These are the right weapons. And Jehoshaphat and the Israelites, they fought with these, and then all they had to do was show up to the battle. Some of us, maybe we're losing the battle because we stopped showing up. When did it go bad for King David? It was when he stayed home, when he chose not to show up and fight. The Lord wants us to contend and to persist and to actually raise the banner of victory, to stand. You know, that I read that Ephesians 6 passage, the next verse, verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. When you've done all that you can to stand, you just stand. You keep on standing. You stand firm. That means you keep on showing up. And some of us, maybe we haven't showed up for the battle in a long while. but it's time to take up the fight of faith. Amen. The Israelites contended, but then they just needed to show up. Keep showing up in the face of trials and adversity, in the unknown, in the grief. You know, keep showing up because he's going to turn that valley into one of praise. Another king named Jehoash in 2 Kings 13, he was wanting to see victory for his army, and he inquires of the Lord. He goes before Elisha, and the prophet Elisha commands him to prophetically strike the ground with some arrows. He strikes it only three times and he stops. And we read in verse 19, Elisha was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you defeat it only three times." He didn't lose because God had failed. He lost because he didn't persist in contending. He didn't persist. Yeah, that'll do it. That's probably enough. You see, the fight of faith isn't a once or twice. Oh, I did pray for that. Oh, I prayed sincerely once. No, it's a persistent contending in faith that keeps on until there's victory and you're enjoying the spoils of the breakthrough. When we take up the fight of faith, this is what happens. Verses 25 to 26 in 2 Chronicles 20. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka where they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Man, they would have been going wild. What should have been a valley of defeat, of slaughter, of being overcome, became a valley of praise. So much so, they're like, we call that the Valley of Praise. Like, that's where we just went wild for Jesus because the Lord just delivered us. It was victory. Don't step away from the fight. Don't stop bringing your faith. Don't stop. Don't just fight for a moment, but we got to keep showing up. Amen? Because the Lord has treasures for us when we show up to fight. And you're going to come through that battle with praise on your lips and maybe a little praise on your hips too. Amen? Amen? We fight in prayer. We fight in praise and we fight with our words. These are the weapons that are available to us. But will you take them up in your fight of faith? Will you step onto the front lines in your fight of faith? You know, look around you. Look around. Online, if you're on the couch by yourself, just look at yourself and back up again, I guess. You're all beautiful people. Inwardly, some of you, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Definitely inwardly, all of you, okay? But sometimes you're all too sweet and nice. You all need to start some fights in here. I'm telling you, this is a safe space. Fighting is welcomed. The right way, as we just talked about. Maybe we misunderstand who Jesus is. Yes, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he was silent before his accusers, but he is also the Lion. He is the Lion and the Lamb. Revelation 5, it says, "Don't weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." He's not just a lamb that was sacrificed for us. No, he's the Lion that triumphs. He's the King. He is victory. He is life. And he is not passive. Jehoshaphat and the Israelites got to the battle and the enemy had already been routed. Is that not a prophetic picture for us? Amen. The enemy is defeated by his grace, not by our strength or our efforts, but in Jesus' name, in Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. They didn't know how God would do it, but he was already at work. And that's how we fight, from victory in Jesus' name. Worship team, you guys come join me. It's time to fight again in faith for a godly family and marriage, for freedom in your mind, to fight what he has promised for your life. But let me stretch this, because if this message stays just about you, we've missed it. Because we are not contending for comfort. We're not contending for our lives to be really lovely, lollipops and rainbows, no problems, live it nice and wonderful. We're contending for his kingdom come. And Jesus declares again and again that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. And then he says in Matthew 11, verse 12, that violent people take the kingdom by force. People that got a bit of fight in them. Amen. A theologian says this means that the kingdom is making great strides. Now is the time for courageous souls, forceful people to take a hold of it. To rise up with a fighting faith. That isn't just about self, but it's about the kingdom come around them. Amen. Yes, our personal battles, they can bring glory to God and testify to others. Absolutely. And that's what we need to do. But more than a personal breakthrough, what if we decided to fight for a breakthrough in others? What if we decided to contend for our city, for broken families? You know, Pastor Celine and I, we were out on a Tuesday night helping this girl find a place to live. She's 13 years old and her family is just broken. And it just broke my heart. And I was like, man, I can just get so caught up in my little world and what's going on and my problems. I'm like, man, someone needs to stand in the gap for that family. Someone needs to pray and contend for them. Come on, what if we decided to fight for a breakthrough in our lives, for these broken families, for the protection and the sanctity of life? You know, for our freedoms in our faith that are trying to be taken away, for a spiritual authority in our city, amen? For future churches, for our communities that don't yet know Jesus, for this nation to return back to Him. As king, Jehoshaphat had the resource to just sort himself. He could have covered it. Hey, I'm going to take my entourage and we're just going to bail out, or we're going to go and here, have everything and just make sure you look after me. No, He chose to contend for His nation. He chose to contend for His nation. We are nations church. We're at a call for the nations. And God is looking for a people with a fighting faith who won't shrink back, who will inquire and then contend. Amen? Come on. Can we just give God some praise for a moment? Can we just contend with praise? We praise You, Jesus. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives and in this house. We thank You for victory over every battle that we've got going on. And God, we just choose. We're going to contend for You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.